Hello and welcome to the Divorced Advocate, where we help dads create a healthier and less traumatic divorce. My name is Jude Sandoval and I am your host. Today, we are going to be talking about dad's mental health. But before we do that, I want to ask you a favor. And that is, if you are listening on a podcast platform, if you will just take a quick second and pause this recording and go and either give us a star review or a like or write a brief review, I would very much appreciate it. If you are watching on YouTube or somewhere else on social media, if you would just pause and give a like or make a comment or subscribe to our channel, that would help immensely. We are getting thousands and thousands of men listening and downloading every month now. So if you can help in paying it forward to another dad that might be going through a difficult and challenging time through the divorce, this is just going to help us to reach out to more and more men across the world. And the Divorced Advocate community is building. Our group meetings are full. We've got workshops that are full. It is just absolutely gratifying to see the work and help that we're giving the other dads out there. So your doing this will help immensely in getting that word out there. So I thank you and I appreciate it in advance if you can do that for me. So today I wanted to talk about dad's mental health. May is Mental Health Month. And I'm sure you probably have experienced, like I have, that it feels as if men's mental health is not something that is seemingly a priority out there. And I had an unfortunate experience with that this month and was had submitted to be on a panel for a summit that was about mental health because it was May Mental Health Month. And I was told that it did not fit the panel and the summit's theme, as you will. And so it's just sad. It was a little bit irritating because I know, and the statistics bear that not only men, but particularly dads suffer immensely. And I know that I hear from you daily that is the case. So I wanted to talk a little bit about dad's mental health. And then I also wanted to give some strategies about how you can help mitigate and keep yourself in a good place mentally. And we'll talk about how we can do that and give you some tips on how to do that as well. Everything I'm going to talk about, we've talked at some time or another, and a lot of it is in my Dad's Guide to Divorce. So feel free, if you want to go to dadsguidedivorce.com, you can download that as well. And that will help, with some of the techniques that I'm going to explain today as well. So, you know, we all know that about half of all marriages in our country end in divorce. And we've seen the statistics around the increase in suicide rates for men, and for fathers, that's even more pronounced because we're going through something that is probably, and not probably, it's ranked up there as one of the top probably two or three most stressful experiences you're going to go through. And if you're listening, I'm sure you're either going through it or you have gone through it, and it is extremely stressful and chaotic. And so there's some studies also that bear this out. I got this information from a interesting website that you might want to visit. It's called Fathers Unite, and it talks about the website in general talks about fathers' rights. It's a good website. There's some stuff that's a little kooky, but for the most part, they've got a lot of great information. And these resources I fact-checked today that with these statistics in this research are valid. And so one of them is a study from the Centers for Disease Control called Suicide Among Older Persons, and this analyzed suicides among elderly men elderly persons, and the study found that the rate for divorce and widowed men 65 or older was 17 times that of married women. And the report concluded that sex and marital status specific suicide rates were highest for divorced or widowed men. Another study from the university from a University of Colorado researcher, Richard Rogers, that was called Marriage, Sex, and Mortality, analyzed the effects of marriage on persons who died. And he found that men who were divorced or separated had a far greater risk of suicide by a ratio of 6 to 1 than divorced or separated women. That's a huge disparity. The last one is from sociologist Augustine Kapasawa from the University of California. And he used a large nationally represented database to analyze the effects of marital status on suicide risk. And what he found was that divorced men were more than twice as likely to commit suicide as married men, and almost 10 times more likely to kill themselves as divorced women. So if you want to take that last study and you want to extrapolate out some of the numbers on that, you can get to the calculations revealing that more than 3,600 divorced men, or about 10 per day, commit suicide. And while we're not saying that it's specific to divorce or that may be the only reason why they are committing suicide, again, it is divorce is one of the most stressful parts of life if you are experiencing it. So I think that that we can safely say that that is probably a very large contributing factor to some of these challenges that the men who have committed suicide are going through. So with all of that said and all of that research, so again, this research is just, it paints a sad picture. And we've talked before about the research behind the suicide rates for men in general, and also talked about the positives and the research showing the positives around how important it is to have fathers in kids' lives. And so the point that I want you to take away, if you don't listen to anything else today, is that you are unbelievably important. You are unbelievably important in your children's lives, and whatever it may be, it's difficult, or whatever you may be going through this divorce, that it is critical to work through and figure out what you need to do in order to take care of yourself, in order to take care of your children, because your children need you. So what I wanted to talk about today is taking care of yourself and what you can do to take care of yourself to get through this stressful time, because it's the old adage on the airplane when they talk about the oxygen mask coming down, they say to put your oxygen mask on first before you help anybody else, right? Because you can't help anybody else if you are dead. So that, and that's, I mean, that's not to scare anybody, but that is absolutely the truth. So taking care of yourself, and you know, oftentimes, man, we have not been the ones that have been thinking about taking care of ourselves, because we put ourselves last. We're taking care of our families. We're thinking about our kids, our ex, when we're in the family dynamic. And so now it's going to be a little more of a different dynamic. It's going potentially to be a little more stressful, right? We're getting into this. We're single dads now. We're having to handle everything all the time. It can be stressful, chaotic, uncertain. And so taking care of yourself is going to be preeminent in whatever you're doing. You're also modeling for your children that same thing, because they're growing up, they're watching you, and we don't want them to grow up and see that they're not taking care of themselves, or they get the feeling that they're not supposed to be taking care of themselves first, because that is the first priority. We cannot take care of anybody else if we don't take care of ourselves. Again, what I'm going to run through here on these four different points is all contained in the Dad's Guide to Divorce. You can download at dadsguidetodivorce.com. It's a great 10-pager with the steps of going through a divorce, and that I take all clients through in private sessions. So download that and check it out. So how can you take care of yourself? Well, there are some ways to do this, but it breaks down to taking care of really four separate legs on a stool, if you will. And those four legs are, and the thing is if one of those kind of gets out of balance, just like a four-legged stool does, everything gets kind of wobbly. So and we talk about taking care of these four in different episodes, but I've never talked about the four that are really primarily important for you to take care of. So those four are your mental state, your emotional state, your physical self, and your spiritual self. So mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual. And again, think about it as a four-legged stool, taking care of each one of those things in order to keep the stool stable so that you can have a solid foundation to be able to get through the divorce and also thrive after the divorce, parent, take care of life in general. What can you do for your the first one there, the mental state and your mental state? And let me just clarify the difference between mental and emotional state. So your emotional state is when those emotions come up, just something that is not anything that you can control. Emotions just come up. We don't know why they came up. We don't know what triggers them all of the time. So that is your emotional state. Your mental state is more around your thought process, what you're thinking about, how you're observing the thoughts that come into your mind, et cetera. So those are distinctly different, and there are distinctly different things that you can do in making sure that you're nurturing each of those two different states. So let's talk about the mental state. And the one that I highly, highly recommend, and I know how difficult it was because it took me so long to get into it, but the one of the best things you can do is to start journaling about your mental state. And so this would simply look like just buying a little journal. I've got just a spiral notebook that I work on. This one right now, for those of you listening, I'm just holding up a spiral notebook. You can just buy a journal. It can be a small one that you can put in your pocket. I like to do it first thing in the morning, because when we wake up, we're at our mind, our subconscious has been working throughout the night while we're sleeping, solving problems, our body's been healing, and we're at our most energetic best and our most creative time in our thought process first thing in the morning. So I like to journal first thing in the morning, and you can do something. Here's just four quick prompts that you can journal on. And what this is going to help you to do is journaling by creating a vision for what you want. So creating that vision going forward for how you want to get through the divorce, what you want post-divorce to look like. Because the thing that we struggle with, particularly as being guys and our masculine nature, is this chaos and uncertainty about what's going on. We want order and we want direction, and we don't have that right now. And I know that what you're going through, it's just, and then fear. We get filled with fear. I got filled with a ton of fear. So if we can start to create that clarity of what we want and where we want to go, that's gonna help us. Now, we don't know what's going to transpire, but we can work to creating that vision of what we want. So here's just four quick prompts that you can journal on every morning, and then just keep refining those and talking about those and, you know, looking at your mental state while you're journaling every morning. And the first one is who is your future self 3 years from now? And why this is important is we talk about all the time is this time as being an opportunity, maybe for an opportunity of 2.0 of who you are, or what you want to be, or where you want to go, right? So it can be an opportunity if we can reframe our minds to look at it that way. It's a little bit hard sometimes when we're going through this or right in the middle of it, but I promise you that it can be. The second one is, what is the normal life of your future self? So thinking about what your daily life is going to look like with your kids, with your co-parenting, with your job, with your travel, whatever it might be. The third one is, what matters to your future self? If you're going through this, I'm sure you're doing some self-reflection on what is happening, what has happened, and what you would like to see or what you would like to happen in the future, whether that's with your kids, whether that's with a relationship in the future, whatever it may be. This is a great opportunity for reflection on what matters to you and what you would like your future, what would matter to your future self. And then the last one is, why do you want to become this person? It's also another good exercise in thinking about the direction you want to go and how you want to get there. So those four prompts are, who is your future self 3 years from now? What is the normal life of your future self? What matters to your future self? And why do you want to become this person? So work on that journaling. Do it in all of these steps. I'm going to suggest taking one of them and start to do it. So maybe start with the mental part of it and then do it for 21 days. So start journaling for 21 days and then start something around the emotional aspect and then start doing that on top of it. So just baby steps though. Don't try to do 5 or 6 or 10 different things all at once. You're going to kill yourself trying to, you know, change your whole life or change your habits or, you know, trying new things. So take one thing, implement it for 21 days. After 21 days, it's likely to become a habit. After 90 days, it becomes a lifestyle change. And then take that next one under the emotional part. So let's talk about the emotional part. And that is this part is incredibly important because we have a ton, they're all important, but this one's really important because we have a ton of emotions that are coming up during this time. A lot of stuff may be triggering, a lot of fear may be coming up, stuff from our childhood that is traumatic comes up oftentimes. And understanding why that stuff is coming up can be, like I said, an opportunity moving forward for you to transform yourself. What we want to try to avoid at all costs is burying this. And trust me, I know how hard it is to bury it when it is so painful, when it's coming up and it's so difficult. And I tell you, I did everything that I could to bury those emotions, avoid those emotions, escape from them, stay busy, work all the time, go out, whatever it was, in order to keep from really having those come up. But if you take the time to allow those emotions to come up and then work through them, most emotions are only going to last about 90 seconds, like really strong are going to last 90 seconds. And in I'll give you one good tip. And it was one of the men in our group this week that came up with this strategy. And I thought it was brilliant. And he's working through it to be able to sit with his emotions. And what he did is he bought a stopwatch. You don't need to buy a stopwatch, but you can use your phone or whatever you have, or a clock. And he said, I am going to sit with whatever emotion comes up for 5 minutes. Now, 5 minutes is a long time when you're sitting in emotion that you just don't want to be dealing with, but he was committed. He started his stopwatch and then he said, I'm going to sit with that emotion and I'm going to feel that emotion and then I'm going to process through that emotion and then determine what I want to do with it once that 5 minutes is over, but I'm not going to react to it. And I thought that was brilliant to have the stopwatch to sit, to make sure to focus. Now, it's not always convenient to sit for 5 minutes in an emotion that comes up. I think you may have heard me talk about it in other episodes. For me, especially in the beginning, the transitions with the kids and knowing that I wasn't going to see my daughters for a long period of time was incredibly difficult. So emotions would come up for me. Our transition was in the mornings before work. And so that was really hard. So if you can't deal with them, put them in a box, put them on the shelf, do something to contain them for the moment, do some deep breathing to get through that 90 seconds and compose yourself, but schedule some time to come back to those emotions and maybe do the stopwatch for 5 minutes and sit with those emotions so that you can then process what that is. So make sure that you are going to identify and also sit with and try to understand what the emotions are. And it's also a good opportunity if you start to get into the journaling to journal about those emotions. If you want to write down what it is that your feelings are about those, you've had this emotion. So what is the feeling that's coming out or that you're determining around those emotions? This is going to really help you to process. And I promise you, it's going to help you to process anything that might be coming up or that might be experiencing throughout the divorce process or even post-divorce, because stuff, hey, look, I'm almost 9 years down the road and stuff comes up also. And that's not to say that there's not a light at the end of the tunnel. It's just to say that we're always working on stuff. Now, the divorce is like maybe shining a really intense light on some stuff and is much more challenging and painful, but we're always working on and working through our issues. So that's the mental and emotional parts of it. The next is the physical one. And this one is a little bit easier in the sense that we just need to keep our body active and take care of our bodies. And one of the easiest things that I have found to do this is walking. And walking is actually can provide a threefold benefit around what you're needing to do for your for taking care of yourself, in that it can be physical. Walking has immense benefits, 30 minutes a day, and you want to be exercising your body at least 30 minutes a day for six, if you can do it every day, but at least five or six days a week. That's what is recommended. And we just are sitting around a ton and it does not help. There are huge mental, emotional benefits to walking. So we not only get the physical exercise, maybe some cardio exercise, vitamin D for our bodies or skin, all those benefits of it physically, but mentally it can be something that helps us to just process through things. It can be a contemplative practice, which we're going to talk about next in the spiritual part of it, just the rhythmic part of walking, or if you're walking and listening to music that you like, that can help as well. So it can have multiple benefits for you in just going for a 30 minute walk or taking a break, maybe during the workday, going for a 15 minute walk, or getting up in the morning is a great time. Again, also mornings. I love mornings. Finding a morning routine to do some of this stuff is absolutely phenomenal because it sets you up for huge success for the rest of your day. So instead of checking the email or turning on TV or whatever it might be, carving out that 30 minutes to an hour to do some of this work that we're talking about gets you, it's like building a foundation for your day. It gets you in a place where you can then thrive through the rest of the day. So maybe a walk first thing in the morning could be beneficial for you as well. But it can be any kind of physical exercise that you like. Perhaps find something or an activity that you may have fallen away from. I started playing tennis again that I haven't done in decades, and I forgot how much I loved to play tennis when I was younger. And so finding some of those things that we kind of got away from when we got into family and time restraints didn't allow us to do it, that can be another good thing. So that provides not only the physical activity, but some mental and emotional happiness and stimulation around re-engaging in something that you had previously liked to do. So that's the physical part. And the last one is spiritual. We haven't talked too much about this on the show, but it is an important leg in that four-legged stool. And when I speak spiritually, that can be, it doesn't have to be religious. It doesn't have to be dogmatic. It just has to do that we are all spiritual beings. We all have some connection to a source that is greater than ourselves, and nurturing that source or that connection to that source is something that's important. And so the point about this is finding some way to do that. And in my recommendation is finding some contemplative practice. And when I say contemplative practice, that's a little more than journaling. It's a little different than journaling. That's really taking some time to maybe go deeper. And different people find different ways of doing this. For me, it's meditation. So I've been meditating for decades. And meditating is it's misunderstood oftentimes. It's not really clearing your mind. There's no way to clear your mind. Our mind's always working. It's just finding a deeper place in ourselves to get quiet and to just get into that place and contemplate. Now, some people go for hikes. Some people go for walks, like I said, and will listen to music. Some people have that through artwork and drawing or doing some kind of creative endeavor. But whatever it is for you, find that contemplative practice and keep doing it, because it continues to nurture that spiritual side. Some people it's going to church, some people it's praying, and some people it's organized religion, and that's great also. But it's incredibly important, because again, that spiritual part of each of us needs to be nurtured equally as much as the physical, mental, and emotional. So again, 21 days, find that if it's meditating, there's a great meditation that I like. It's called the six phase meditation. If you go to mindvalley.com or if you go on YouTube and you just keyword search six phase meditation, it's a nice brief guided meditation, takes you through several important steps of meditation. It's very user-friendly and beginner-friendly, and it'll help you to start that process. So again, all of this, you can see how it will work together in helping the spiritual practice part of it, finding the contemplative, contemplative practice is gonna help that emotional part of it. The physical exercise is gonna help the mental part of it. The mental part is going to help the spiritual part and the emotional part. This is all integrated together. And these are four legs of the stool that are unbelievably important for you to make sure to nurture yourself. Now, again, start with one. Start with whichever, mental, emotional, physical, spiritual. Pick one activity that you want to start for 21 days, and then make that just part of what you do every day. And here's the other thing. We have to schedule this in our lives because it's so busy. And if we don't make it a priority to schedule in our lives, it won't get done. Make yourself a priority. So if you can shift your mindset that you're not being selfish, but that you're making this a priority in order to help your family, your children, and help yourself to move forward to help the others, then that is going to help you to do this. But make sure to make yourself a priority and make sure to schedule this stuff in. So that might mean you get up a half hour earlier, which means you got to go to bed a half hour earlier, but make this a priority. If you're going to be getting up in the morning and doing some of what I'm talking about in the morning, or if you're going to do it in the afternoon, but make it a priority and schedule it in to do it, and schedule each one of these things in. We're not talking about hours and hours of work. It can be 15 minutes of the meditate or the spiritual practice. It can be 15 minutes of the mental practice, but 15 minutes of the emotional practice, 15 minutes, that's 15 minutes of physical, 15 to 30 minutes of physical. That's an hour. That's an hour of a day broken up throughout the day that we spend an hour screwing around doing something that is not productive, that we can use this in order to help us to move forward and be more beneficial, not only for our lives, but for our families. So again, you can find many of these suggestions in the Dad's Guide to Divorce at dadsguidetodivorce.com. It's my five-step process that I take men through in private sessions. It's about a 10-page PDF download. You can take that. There's some other suggestions on different stuff around what we just talked about here, but it's all around taking care of yourself mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. And so I just want to say again, as we start to come up here on Father's Day, you are unbelievably important, gentlemen, in your children's lives. So if you're struggling through this challenging time in divorce, just know that there are others of us that are going through it or have gone through it, and we know how important you are. We know that your children need you. Get involved with the Divorced Advocate community. We have a lot of free resources. There's the meetup group that is in the show notes below. Jump on one of our meetups. We've got workshops going. We've got classes going now. We're just growing and growing and growing. And so if you get involved in those, there's other things and other men that you can share with and talk to. And it's just growing and growing. And again, if you found some value in this, pay it forward. Please leave us a review, subscribe to our channel. If you can really just take 30 seconds, copy the URL for this, post it into your social media with just a brief note that any divorced dads, please listen to this. That would also help tremendously. It would just take 30 seconds. You would be helping another dad that might be struggling through this divorce process, and we can get them some help as well. So, gentlemen, thank you. I appreciate listening today. Take care of yourself first. Take care of your mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual being, because you are worth it, number one. And number two, your children need you. Thanks so much. Take care.